Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous, co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com. And now, Esther will take a moment to quiet her conscious thinking mind as she invites Abraham, the group of non-physical teachers, to speak this material through her to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased to discuss this most important topic of allowing, an understanding of the law of allowing, and indeed an application of the law of allowing will bring forth to everyone who hears and knows and applies absolute freedom in this physical life experience. An allower is one who knows this. I am that which I am, a changing thing indeed. And while I am that which I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are. I recognize that there are not two of us that are the same. I recognize that we have many differences. I recognize that there are things that are similar. There are even things that are same. And in all of our samenesses and in all of our differences, I find joy. The reason that most are not willing to be allowing of what some others do is because they believe that if they allow another to behave in some way, some very opposite way, that they are jeopardizing their own experience. That if another is allowed to behave in that way, that it will grow and spread even unto the experience of the one who is observing and not approving. This belief, this fear, this wanting to protect oneself, this attitude of vulnerability comes not because the vulnerability need be there, but because it is not understood what causes the vulnerability. It is not understood that it is not necessary for the experiences of another ever to seep into the experience of any other. This lack of understanding, indeed this fear, is what is responsible for the organization of armies. It is what is responsible for the attitude we must band together to be larger and more powerful. And it is an attitude of weakness rather than of strength. It is a feeling of vulnerability rather than a feeling of invincibility. And it is a lack of knowledge regarding the laws that govern your universe. The reason that we are offering these words to you is not that we may free your world from all of its troubles, as the conflicts of belief continue to cause one life after another to be lost. The intent of this recording is to assist you as individuals who hear this to find the freedom that comes only when you understand and apply the laws of the universe. These laws are eternal, which means they are forever. These laws are universal, which means they are everywhere. They are absolute, whether you know that they are or not. They exist whether you accept that they exist or not. And they influence your life whether you know that they do or not. When we use the word law, we are not referring to the earthly agreements that many of you term law. You have a law of gravity, and you have the law of time and space, and you have many laws, even laws regarding the controlling of your traffic and the behavior of your citizens. But when we use the word law, we are speaking of those everlasting, ever-present laws, and there are not so many of them as you might believe that there are. While we have already discussed fully on separate recordings the law of attraction and the law of deliberate creating, we will express them here briefly because an understanding of those laws is necessary before an understanding of the law of allowing can be. If you will come to understand and apply these three basic laws, you will have an understanding of how your universe functions. You will have an understanding of how everything that comes into your experience comes. You will recognize that you are the inviter, the creator, the attractor of all things that come unto you. And you will indeed then have deliberate control of your own life experience. And in all of that, you will then, and only then, be free. Freedom comes through an understanding of how you're getting what you're getting. And so here we will express the rules of your game of physical experience. And we do so enthusiastically because they are the same rules of the game of all life, whether it is physical life experience or non-physical life experience. The most powerful law in the universe is the law of attraction. And that law simply says that which is likened to itself is drawn. You say, birds of a feather flock together. That is your awareness of the law of attraction. You notice that when bad things begin to happen in your life, it seems that everything starts to go wrong. You notice that when you wake up in the morning feeling good, you have a happier day, where when you begin the day with a fight with someone, that you find your day negative in many regards. That is your awareness of law of attraction. And indeed, everything that you are experiencing, from the most obvious to the most subtle, is influenced by this powerful law of attraction. When you think about something that pleases you, by law of attraction, other thoughts that are similar to it will begin to come forth. When you think of something that displeases you, by law of attraction, other thoughts that are like it will begin to come forth. Until you find yourself reaching into your past for more of the thoughts. You find yourself discussing with others. Until you find yourself surrounded by a larger and larger, ever-growing larger thought. And as this thought is growing larger and larger, it is gaining momentum. It is gaining power. Attraction power. An understanding of this law puts you in a position where you may focus your thoughts only in the direction of what you are wanting to attract into your experience, while you may take your attention from those thoughts that you are not wanting to draw into your experience. The law of deliberate creating is described in this way. That which I give thought to, I begin to attract. That which I give thought to with emotion, I attract more quickly. And once I have launched it powerfully by giving thought with emotion, then as I expect that which I have thought about, I get it. The balance of deliberate creating is two-sided, so to speak. On the one hand is the thought, and on the other hand is the expectancy or the belief or the allowing. And so when I have given thought to something and now I am expecting it or believing that it will be, now I am in the perfect position to receive the subject of my thought. You get what you think about, whether you want it or not. Your thoughts are powerful, attractive magnets. They attract to themselves, and you attract them to you by giving thought to them. When you feel lonely, you attract more loneliness. When you feel poor, you attract more poverty. When you feel sick, you attract more sickness. When you feel unhappy, you attract more unhappiness. When you feel healthy and vital and alive and prosperous, you attract more of all of those things. The way you feel is your point of attraction. And so the law of attraction is most understood when you see yourself as a magnet getting more and more of the way you feel. It is usually easier to see these laws at work when you look into others' experiences. You will notice that those who speak most of prosperity have it. Those who speak most of health have it. Those who speak most of sickness have it. Those who speak most of poverty have it. It is law. It can be no other way. We are teachers, and in all of our experiences of teaching, we have learned this most important fact. Words do not teach. It is life experience that brings you your knowing. And so we encourage you to reflect into your own life experience, to remember those things that you have experienced before, and to begin watching from this point forward for the absolute correlation between the words that you are hearing here on this recording and the life experience that you are living. For it is our knowing that there is not a shred of evidence that exists anywhere in your universe that is to the contrary of what you have just heard on this recording. And so if you will begin to notice that you are getting what you are thinking about, then and only then will you be wanting to pay attention to, in fact, to deliberately control your thoughts. Controlling your thoughts becomes easier as you are making the decision that you will do it. Most of the reason that you think about things you do not want is because you did not understand how detrimental it is to your experience. For those of you who do not want those negative experiences, and for those of you who do want those positive experiences, once you have recognized that thinking of what you do not want only attracts it into your experience, controlling your thoughts will not be a difficult thing because your desire to do it will be so strong. Monitoring your thoughts is not an easy thing to do, for while you are monitoring your thoughts, you are not having time to think them. And so rather than monitoring thoughts, we are here going to offer to you an alternative, an effective alternative. There are very few who understand that while you are a physical being here, focused through this physical apparatus, that simultaneously there is a part of you, a broader part, a wiser part, certainly an older part of you, that exists now at the same time. And that part of you, we refer to it as your inner being, communicates with you without exception. The communication takes many different forms. It may come in the form of clear, vivid thought, even an audible spoken word at times. But in all cases, it comes to you in the form of emotion. Before you emerged into this physical body, you set forth an agreement that this line of communication would exist. And it was agreed that it would be a feeling that could not be missed, rather than a stimulation of thought or an offering of word which could be missed. For as you are thinking thoughts, you do not always receive a thought that is being offered. Just as you are thinking or deep in thought, you sometimes do not hear what someone is speaking to you who is standing in the same room with you. And so the process of feeling, as in emotion, is a very good process for communication. There are really only two emotions. One feels good and one feels bad. And it was agreed that the feeling that feels good would be offered when you were thinking that or speaking that or doing that which is in harmony with what you are wanting. While it was agreed that a feeling that felt bad would be offered when you are speaking or thinking or acting in a direction that is not in harmony with your intentions. It is not necessary to monitor your thoughts, but simply to be sensitive to the way that you are feeling. And any time you feel that negative emotion, recognize that you are in the moment of that feeling miscreating, in the moment of that feeling thinking a thought of something you do not want, thereby attracting it into your experience. Creating is the attraction process. When you think a thought, you attract the subject of your thought, and that is creating. The words that you have heard here have introduced to you two of the three powerful laws of the universe. Law of attraction being the first, law of deliberate creating being the second. And now we will introduce you to the third, and the one that you have wanted most to understand in this physical experience, the law of allowing. Law of allowing cannot be understood or applied until the first two laws are understood and applied. For it is not possible for you to be willing to allow others until you understand that what they do and what they say need not affect you. For your feeling, a feeling that comes from the very core of your being, of self-preservation, is so very powerful. As you are wanting to preserve your own self, you cannot and will not allow one who threatens that. And so this recording has been prepared that you might understand that there is not another who has or offers any threat to you, for you are the controller of your own experience. The law of allowing, which says, I am that which I am, and I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are, is the law that will lead you to total freedom. Freedom from any experience that you do not want, and freedom from any negative response to any experience that you do not approve of. When we say it is good to be an allower, many of you misunderstand what we mean by that, for you think allowing means that you will tolerate, you will be that which you are, which by your standards is that which is appropriate. And you will let everyone else be that which they want to be, even if you don't like it. You will feel negative about it. You will feel sorry for them. You will even feel fearful for yourself. But nevertheless, you will let them be in tolerant fashion. When you are tolerating, you are not allowing. You are tolerating. They are two different things. One who tolerates is feeling negative emotion. One who is allower does not feel negative emotion. And that is a very great difference. For it is the absence of negative emotion that is freedom, you see. Mm-hmm. You cannot experience freedom when you have negative emotion. Mm-hmm. An allower is one who has understood the law of attraction. An allower is one who knows how he gets what he gets, who knows how to deliberately create in his own experience. An allower is one who does not give his attention, he does not look for or listen for those things that he does not want to experience. He has learned to take his eyes from that which he does not want to draw into his experience. He is one who understands that everyone is creator of his own experience. He is one who lets everyone be the creator they have intended to be. He is one who is glorious in his own creating and who is willing to allow others to have the glory of their own creating. Many would say, Abraham, you mean I should put my head in the sand? I should not look and see those who are having trouble. I should not look for an opportunity where I may be of assistance to them. And we say, if you are intending to be of assistance, your eye is not upon the trouble, but upon the assistance. And that is quite different. When you are looking for solution, you are feeling positive emotion. When you are looking at problem, you are feeling negative emotion. Mm-hmm. You can be of great assistance to others as you see what they are wanting to be, as you uplift them to what they are wanting to have through your words and through your attention to it. But as you see one who is down in his luck, as you see one who has great poverty or great illness, and as you speak with them in pity and sympathy about that which they do not want, you will feel the negative emotion of it because you are a contributor to that. As you talk to others about what you know they do not want, you assist them in their miscreating, and you feel negative emotion as it happens. Yes. Negative emotion that you call sorrow or sympathy or pity. One who is allower is one who is willing to let the one who chooses illness choose it and have it. Allower is one who is willing to let the one who chooses poverty choose it and have it. But that does not mean that you cannot, at same time as being allower, also be uplifter. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that you cannot uplift them to having something better. But we say to you, you will not uplift them through your words of sorrow. You will not uplift them through your recognition that what they have is not what they want. You will uplift them by being something different yourself. You will uplift them through the power and through the clarity of your own personal example. Mm-hmm. For as you are healthy, you will stimulate their wanting for health. As you are prosperous, you may stimulate their wanting for prosperity. Let your example uplift them. Let what is in your heart uplift them. Mm-hmm. You will uplift them when what is in your heart feels good to you. You will depress them or add unto their negative creating when what is in your heart makes you feel bad. That is how you know the difference, you see. You will know when you have achieved allowing. When you are willing to allow another, even in their not allowing of you. When you are able to be that which you are, even when the others do not approve. Even when they do not approve of what you are able to still be that and not feel negative emotion toward their thoughts about you. When you can look into this world and feel joy all of the time. You will know when you are allower, when you are able to know which experiences contain joy and which ones do not, and you have the discipline to participate only where there is joy. The difference between positive emotion and negative emotion can sometimes be a very subtle difference, just as the difference between wanting and needing is a very subtle difference. When you are focusing upon what you want, your inner being offers you positive emotion. When you are focusing upon what you need, your inner being offers you negative emotion. Because you are not focused upon what you are wanting, you are focused upon the lack of what you are wanting. And your inner being knows that that which you give thought to is that which you attract. Your inner being knows that you do not want the lack. Your inner being knows you want what you want. Mm-hmm. And your inner being is offering you guidance so that you will know. Focusing upon the solution makes you feel positive emotion. Focusing upon the problem makes you feel negative emotion. While the differences are subtle, they are very important differences. Mm-hmm. For when you feel positive emotion, you are attracting into your experience that which you want. When you feel negative emotion, you are attracting into your experience what you do not want. And so we might say an allower is one who has learned the law of creating and has reached the position where he does not miscreate. He creates deliberately and intentionally and joyfully. You see, contentment comes from only one place. It comes only from wanting and then allowing and then receiving. And so as you are moving through this experience of physical life, holding your thoughts in the direction of what is wanted, letting the powerful law of attraction work for you, bringing more and more of the events and circumstances and other beings who are compatible with you into your experience, then you will find your life spiraling upward to joy and freedom. Tolerance may be an advantage to the other because you are not hindering them from what they are wanting to do. But tolerance is not an advantage to you, because while you are being tolerant, you are still feeling negative emotion, and therefore you are not free. You are bound by the negativity you feel. Becoming an allower is an advantage to you, because as you are an allower, you are free from negativity, and you are an experiencer of joy. You have some questions for us, do you not, upon this most important topic?
I have questions.
It is, to me, the most exciting topic of all of them.
It is that which you have come forth into this experience to teach. But before you can teach, you must know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also noticed that we've had the least numbers of questions asked. Perhaps it's a, go ahead.
Ordinarily, the questions are more in the line of, someone is doing something I do not like, how can I get them to do something I do like instead? Mm-hmm. And what you will come to understand is that rather than trying to get the world all to do one thing or to do the things that you like, it is a much better plan to put yourself in the position of accepting that everyone has the right to be or do or have whatever they are wanting, and you, through the power of your thoughts, will attract unto you only that which is in harmony with you.
Yes. I didn't know that before meeting you. And so the way I used to decide what was right or wrong for me is, if I was considering an action, I would try to imagine what the whole world would be like if everyone did it. And then if it looked like a really joyous world or a comfortable world, then I'd go ahead with the action. And if it looked like a world that I didn't want to live in, if everybody was doing it, then I'd decline to do the action, so to speak. I'll give you an example. I used to like to stream fish for trout. And at first I fished like everyone else did. I caught every fish that I could. But then I guess I was a little uncomfortable doing it, and I thought, what would it be like if the whole world did that? And I realized we'd fish all these streams empty and there wouldn't be anything left for this pleasure that I'm having. So with that, then my new decision was that I wouldn't kill any of the fish. I would catch them, but I would turn them loose. In other words, I'd use a hook without a barb on it. And I'd only take the fish that someone had asked me to bring home to eat.
Good. That which any of us have to offer that is of greatest value is the example of that which we are. Our words can add to that example, and our thoughts can add to that example, and certainly our action adds to that example. And so the key for any of us in our wanting, as you are wanting, to uplift this world is to make more clear decisions about what we are wanting to be at any point in time, and then to be that. That which you were doing in your example is in harmony with that which we are teaching now, in that once you decide what you want, then your inner being offers you emotion to help you know the appropriateness of what you are about to do. In other words, once you have decided that you are wanting to uplift this world, mm-hmm. once you have decided that you are wanting to add unto it, not take from it disproportionately, mm-hmm. then any action that you begin to make or that you anticipate making that is not in harmony with that intention would feel uncomfortable to you. You have exaggerated your wanting for the world to be a better place by imagining that everyone in the world did whatever it was you were thinking about doing,
right.
which brought forth exaggerated guidance from within. It is a good way of going about it. You are not here trying to get them all to do it. You are only using that idea of them all doing it to help you be clear about whether it is a good thing for you to do or not. And it is a good plan.
See, that worked for me. And so my fishing days were absolute spectacular joy. But I still was uncomfortable when I saw other people wasting fish and killing them just for the fun of, or whatever the reason.
Good.
So
now,
that was the, go ahead.
Now we have come upon a very important point. As your actions were in harmony with your intentions, mm-hmm. you felt joy.
Right.
But as others' actions were not in harmony with your intentions, you did not feel joy.
Right.
And so what is required is that you set forth another set of intentions regarding the others. and a very good set of intentions regarding the others is this. Mm-hmm. They are that which they are, creators of their own life experience, attracting unto them, while I am creator of my experience, attracting unto me. And as you state that to yourself again and again, soon you will come to recognize that they are not really messing up your world in the way that you think that they are. They are creating their own world. And it may not be a world that is messed up to them, you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is difficult is when you are looking at your world as a world that is not an abundant world, when you begin thinking in terms of how many fish there are, mm-hmm. when you begin thinking in terms of how much prosperity and abundance is present, mm-hmm. then you begin to worry about someone else wasting it or squandering it, leaving not enough for the rest or not enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to understand that this universe, indeed this physical experience in which you are participating, is abundant, there is not an ending to that abundance, then you do not worry. You let them create and attract to them while you create and attract to you.
But the way I resolved that dilemma, in essence, was back in 1970, and for 9 years, I just turned off my input to what I'll call the outside world. I turned off my television, my radio. I didn't read newspapers anymore. And I also turned off a lot of people that were talking about things I didn't want to hear. Again, that worked for me. It worked so well that during that 9-year period, I achieved what I felt were magnificent results in the areas of meaningful relationships with many other people, perfect physical health, significant financial resources developed. It was like nothing had happened before in my life. And so by shutting out this negative input, it was really more like just sticking my head in the sand than it was allowing. So let me ask you. Go ahead.
There is great value to giving your attention to what is important to you. As you put your head in the sand, so to speak, mm-hmm. closing out much of the outside influence, you are able to focus upon that which is important to you. And as you give thought to anything, you draw power and clarity and results to it, you see. And as you do that, you receive contentment, the contentment mm-hmm. that comes only from wanting and allowing and achieving.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being one who was ignoring or putting your head in the sand, not paying attention to, rather than being allower, perhaps those fit together better than you think. In other words, giving your attention to what is important to you is the process by which you will allow the others to be that which they are wanting to be. To give your attention to you while you allow them to give their own attention to themselves is a very important process in becoming allower.
In other words, because I was expecting, although I'd never heard the words before, the law of attraction to work for me, and I was expecting the deliberate creative process, that law, to work for me, I automatically had shifted into the stage of allowing, in a sense of the word?
That is correct. You were giving your attention to what was important to you, therefore attracting more of that, which made watching the television not interesting.
That's true.
Reading the newspapers not important. It was not that you were depriving yourself
No.
of something that you were wanting. Instead, by law of attraction, you were drawn more to what you were wanting.
Absolutely. Are most of us seeking to understand this law of allowing, or are you just saying that those of us who are speaking to you are wanting that?
All of you who exist upon the earth today in physical bodies intended before your emergence into these bodies to understand and be allower.
Okay.
Most of you from your physical perspective are far from understanding it or from wanting it. You would rather control one another.
Okay. So is this state of allowing that we are from some level seeking, one in which we can still see and be aware of what I'll call the negatives around us, or what feels negative from our perspective, and still remain joyous?
You will.
Or will we not see it?
Both.
Or we won't see it as negative?
All of that. when you were focused upon the things that were important to you, mm-hmm. you were not watching the television, you were not reading the newspapers,
right.
you were enjoying what you were doing. You were giving your attention to what was important to you, and the law of attraction brought more and more and more power and clarity to that. And so the other was simply not drawn into your experience because it did not fit with those intentions of growth
Good.
And achievement. When you are clear about what you are wanting, you do not have to forcefully keep yourself upon the track. By law of attraction, it occurs. And so it is not difficult to be an allower. It comes easily simply because you will not be so interested in all of those things that have nothing to do with what you are about. Your television, while it offers you much information that is of value, offers much, much more information that has very little to do with what any of you
Sure.
are wanting in your life experience. Many of you sit and watch the television simply because it is there, because no other decision has been made. And so watching the television is not so much usually a deliberate act as it is an action by default.
Mm-hmm.
And in that state of not deliberateness, in that state of no decision,
mm-hmm.
you are opening yourself to whatever is thrown at you, you
mm-hmm.
see. And so as you are bombarded literally with stimulation of thought of things that occur all around your world, because you have made no decision about what you are wanting to think about,
mm-hmm.
you find yourself accepting into your experience through thought many things that you would not have chosen. That is what creating by default is. Giving thought to something without being deliberate about it. Thinking about it, thereby attracting it, whether you want it or not.
Right. How would you tell me to achieve this state of allowing that I'm wanting, in spite of, I'll say, the fact that there are many around me who, from their perspective, are having pain or what I call negatives?
I would suggest to you that you make a decision. A decision that no matter what you are doing in this day,
mm-hmm.
no matter who you are interacting with, no matter where you are, that your dominant intent will be to look for those things
mm-hmm.
that you want to see. And as that is your dominant intent, by law of attraction, you will attract only those things that you are wanting, and you will see only those things that you are wanting to see.
Okay.
You will become more selective sifter. You will become more selective attractor. You will become more selective noticer. In the beginning, you will notice some of it because you have set forth some momentum from thoughts and beliefs that have been before this time.
Okay.
But in time, once that has been your intention at the beginning of every day for 30 or 60 days, you will begin to notice that there is very little that is in your life experience that is not to your liking. For your momentum, your thought will have carried you beyond what is now occurring, you see. It is difficult for you to be allowers when you see someone very close to you doing that which threatens you or doing that which threatens someone else.
Right.
And so you say, Abraham, I do not understand what you mean when you say, I can think it away, that through my thoughts I can deal with it, that no action need be taken. And we say, it is through your thoughts that you invite. But much that you are living today is as a result of thoughts that you have thought before this time. Just as many of the thoughts that you are thinking today, you are projecting into your future, pre-paving your future. And there will be a point in time that you will move to that place, and you will then live the results of the thoughts that you are thinking now, just as today you are living the results of the thoughts that you have thought before.
Mm-hmm.
You are always thinking. And you cannot disconnect your past and your present and your future, for they are all one. They are all tied together with the continuum of thought. And so as you are walking down the street and you come across a fight. There is a very big bully beating up on a much smaller man. And as you walk closer, you are filled with negative emotion when you say, I'm going to turn my eyes away, I'm going to walk away and pretend like this has not happened. You feel terrible, negative emotion, because you are not wanting this little one to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you think, well, I will go in and I will help. And then you also feel negative emotion because you are not wanting your own face to be broken or your own life to be taken.
Sure.
And so you say, Abraham, now what do I do? And we say, we agree. In this example, there is not an option that seems to be the perfect one. Because you are in the moment having to do so much work because of the lack of prepaving in your past. If in your past, as you began each day, you had intended safety, you had intended harmony, you had intended interacting with those who were in harmony with your intentions, it is an absolute promise to you, you would not now be in this uncomfortable position. And so we say, deal with it in whatever way you choose. But today, begin to set forth your thoughts of what you are wanting in the future. And so you will not find yourself walking into another sort of uncomfortable ambush where any way you go, it is not comfortable. Until you understand how it is you get what you get, it is very difficult for you to accept the idea of allowing, because there are so many things that you see in this world that you do not like, and you say, how can I allow this injustice? And we say you allow it by recognizing that it is not part of your experience, and that in most cases it is truly not any of your business. It is not your work. It is the creation, it is the attraction, it is the experience of the others. And so rather than trying to control the experiences of all others, which you cannot do no matter how hard you try, instead, intend to control your own participation within those experiences. And by setting forth your clear image of the life you are wanting to live, you will prepave a smooth and pleasant path, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You attract through your thought. You get what you think about, whether you want it or not. And so as you give attention to the drivers that are not courteous, you will attract more of them into your experience. As you give your attention to those who are not giving good service, as you are going from business to business, you will begin attracting those sort of experiences unto you. That which you give your attention to, particularly your emotional attention to, is that which you draw into your experience.
I would like to cover a series of what I call everyday real life experiences and have you, if you would, tell me a little bit of how you see the law of allowing applying to these particular conditions. First, as far as our personal health is concerned. I recall in my childhood I had extreme physical illness, and then I reached a stage that I wanted out of that, and so I've had extreme physical health, in essence, ever since then. How does the law of allowing fit in those two situations, from extreme illness to extreme health?
When you have made a decision about something that you are wanting, you have accomplished one half of the equation for the deliberate creation of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have given thought with emotion, which is what wanting is. On the other side of the equation for the deliberate creation is the allowing or the expecting, the letting it be. And so when you say, I want and I allow, therefore it is, you will be very fast in your creating of whatever it is that you are wanting. You are literally allowing yourself to have by not resisting it, by not pushing it away with other thought. You have heard us say that when you are in the state of allowing, you have not negative emotion.
Right.
State of allowing is freedom from negativity. Therefore, when you have set forth your deliberate intent to have something and you are feeling only positive, no negative emotion about it, then you are in the state of allowing it to be. And then you will have it, you see.
Mm-hmm. The next subject would be the area of wealth, prosperity. In my childhood, I was at the one end of it to poverty end of it, like living in chicken houses and so on and so forth. And about the year 1965, I found the book Think and Grow Rich, which gave me a different perspective of how to look at things and moved from there to six-figure incomes.
What do you think took place in that changing of perspective in the reading of that book?
Well, what I remember the most is I began to focus on what I wanted for the first time, more or less exclusively. But I'd like to hear from you.
You achieved an understanding that you could have.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you are not believing that you can, then you do not allow your wanting. And when you do not allow your wanting, you cannot deliberately create, because wanting is the beginning of deliberate creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the reading of the book, in the living of life, you came to believe that you could have, and then you allowed yourself to want.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Another area, a big area, the area of relationships. There were times when it was difficult for me to allow friends to have their thoughts and beliefs and their activities, and family members.
When you're using the word allow in this sense, what do you mean?
I felt like they should think the way and act the way I wanted them to think and act. And when they didn't do that, I was very uncomfortable.
And so as you were observing what they were doing or what they were speaking, you felt negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Your signal that you are not in the state of allowing.
And I at that time thought of myself as a very selfless. In other words, I was not a selfish person. And so I expected them to be less selfish and more giving. And the fact that they weren't was very disturbing to me.
Indeed.
I found a book, another book, David Seabury's book, The Art of Selfishness, that made me look at selfishness from another perspective. Then I was able to release a lot there.
It is important that you allow yourself to pay attention to what you are wanting. And there are those that call that selfishness, and they do so in a judging or disapproving way. And we say to you that unless you have a healthy view of self, unless you are allowing yourself to want and expecting to receive that which you are wanting, you will never be deliberate in your creating, and you will never have satisfying experience. And so selfishness is important. Usually you do not think of allowing yourself, and yet allowing yourself is very important. And what we mean by that is looking at yourself, looking at what you are thinking, looking at what you are speaking, looking at what you are doing, and feeling positive emotion while you are noticing that. Looking into you, intending to see what you are wanting to see, and in seeing it, feeling satisfaction or positive emotion.
Mm-hmm.
When you are approving or liking or allowing yourself to be as you are, then you will be more likely to be able to allow others to be also. In this not allowing of self is usually where the not allowing of others comes forth. Usually the one who is most disapproving of a quality in himself notices that very quality in the others and disapproves of it there as well. And so an accepting and an approving and an appreciating and an allowing of self is the first step in appreciating or approving or of allowing of others, you see. And it does not mean that you must wait until you are by your standards perfect, or that they are by their standards perfect, for there will never be that perfect ending place,
right,
for you are all ever-changing, ever-growing beings. It means looking, intending to see in you what you are wanting to see, or intending to see in others what you are wanting to see. If there is another who sees something in you that they do not approve of, So often you see them see it. Mm-hmm. You see their disapproval reflected back through their eyes. Mm-hmm. And you feel that you have gone wrong in some way. And we say unto you, it is not your lack, it is theirs. It is their inability to be allower that brings forth their negative emotion, not your imperfection. And in like way, when you feel negative emotion because you have seen something in another that you are not wanting to see, it is not their lack, it is your own. And you are reaping the negative reward of that or the negative emotion of that. And so when you decide that you are wanting to see only that which pleases you, then you will begin to see only that which pleases you, and all of your experiences will bring forth positive emotion. Because by law of attraction, you will attract unto you only that which is in harmony with what you are wanting. The reason that few have achieved it is because few are appreciating self. Few are intending to see only that which they are wanting to see. Few are being decisive about anything. And so they are having some of many experiences, some of them good, some of them bad, but they are not in state of allowing because at times they have negative emotion.
Thank you. Here's another area that's given me in the past discomfort. And that is what I had thought of as rights of one or another, property rights, territorial rights, or rights to our own peace. In other words, when they were violated by violence on a person or someone taking someone else's property. And then I was torn between territorial rights, who should be allowed into this our country and who should not be allowed in our country. Why should one person be allowed in and another person not? And then after meeting you, I get to the point that I kind of see all those things they're doing as games that they're playing with more or less agreements that they have between one another, spoken or not spoken. And I get better at not feeling their pain. Can I get to the point that I don't feel anything? I can just look at everything that they're doing out there and say, you're doing what you're choosing to do?
You can. As you understand that they are attracting through their thought, then you will be exuberant rather than feeling pain for them, as you understand that they are reaping the negative or positive emotion depending upon the intent that they have set forth. Of course, most of them do not understand how they're getting what they're getting. And that is the reason that there are so many who believe that they are victims. Mm-hmm. They believe that they are victims because they do not understand how they get what they get. They do not understand that they invite through their thought or through their attention. You may feel exuberance as you look into any experience by recognizing that the experience itself, in fact, only the experience, will bring them to an understanding of these laws. You have mentioned territorial rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a rather different view of territory than those of you who are physical, because in your physical world, you continue to see limitation.
Mm-hmm.
You see there is only so much space and eventually all will be taken up. You feel that there is not enough. In your attitude of limitedness, in your feeling of lack rather than abundance, in your notice of not enough space or not enough money or not enough health, you feel a reason to guard. From our perspective, there is not limitation of anything, but ever-flowing abundance upon all subjects. There is enough of everything for all of you. And so, as you come to understand that, then that feeling of limitation, of lack, of protection, of territorial rights will not be an issue. We understand that by law of attraction, we are drawn together. Here in our non-physical perspective, the family of Abraham is together because we are same. And in our sameness, we are attracted one to another. And so there is not a keeper of the gate. There are not guards to keep the unharmonious out, for they are not drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not giving our attention to them. It is the same in your environment, while you do not see it as clearly as we do. the laws are working as perfectly for you as they do for us, it is that you have so many physical explanations for things. Physical explanations that may be right in part, but are not the complete explanation. As you describe how the water gets into your glass by pointing to the faucet and the knob, we say there is much, much more to the story. And so as you explain to us that you have aggressors that live upon your earth that would like to take from you everything that you have, we say to you, they cannot, unless you invite them in their action through your thought. They will not be part of your experience. That is law, in the physical setting or the non-physical setting.
You said that we have these experiences and that's how we learn these lessons. But when a person loses their physical life in the process of the experience, have they learned the lesson?
It is not that you are being offered lessons. We do not like that word very much, for that sounds as if there is some order of that which you should or must learn, and there is none of that. It is that life experience brings you knowing, and you become wiser and broader through that knowing. What must be understood before you can appreciate the value even in the loss of physical life is that you are adding unto a greater, broader experience than the one you know as your collective experience here in this physical body. Everything that you are living now adds unto that broader knowing. And even when you are removed from focus through this body, all that you've experienced is part of the greater knowing that you hold, you see. And so, yes, there is value in having an experience that even removes you from this physical body. It is not for nothing.
That is an added to experience that's added to all the experience of that being.
It is indeed. You have lost your physical life on many occasions. You have lived thousands of lifetimes. That is the reason that your zest for life is so great. As you are born into this body, you come forth not remembering that which has been before,
right,
because you are not wanting the distraction of all of that memory. We could not express to you in words the number of lifetimes that you have lived, let alone much detail from each of them. You have had so much experience that memory of all of that experience would confuse and hinder you here. You have something much better than that. You have an inner being that is the culmination of all of that experience. Just as you are now that which you are, as a culmination of all that you have lived, there is not value for you to sit here and talk about the things you did when you were 3 or 10 or 12 or 20. You are that which you are because of all of that. But to continue to look back into the past and regurgitate those experiences does not add much unto that which you now are. And so as you accept that you are this magnificent, highly evolved being, and as you are sensitive to the way that you feel, then you have the benefit of guidance as to the appropriateness of anything that you are about to do, based upon the way you feel. You are physical beings, and you are knowing you, the physical you, while most of you are not knowing yourself from broader perspective. The physical you is a magnificent and important you, but it is also an extension of a broader, greater, wiser, certainly older you. And that inner you made the decision to come forth to be focused in this body because it wanted the experience of this lifetime to add unto the knowing of the greater, broader inner you. It was agreed that you would not have memory, muddling, confusing, hindering memory of all that you have lived before, but that you would have a sense, a guidance that comes forth from within. And it was agreed that the guidance would be in the form of emotion, which is manifest to you in the form of feeling. And so as you're transmitting a thought, creating by thinking, your inner being could not respond in thought at the same time. And so your inner being has agreed to offer you a feeling so that you would know the appropriateness of what you are thinking or speaking or doing in the context of your greater or broader intentions. Every time you set forth a conscious intention of something that you are wanting here, your inner being factors all of that in. And so the more deliberate you are in that which you offer in the form of intent, I want, I intend, I expect, your inner being is able to factor all of that in to give you clear, more specific, more appropriate guidance. So many physical beings, because they do not understand that they are the creator of their experience, do not set forth deliberate intentions. They resign themselves to taking what comes, not understanding that they are the attractor of what comes.
Mm-hmm.
Under those conditions, it is more difficult to allow, because you feel that you are victim, you feel that you are vulnerable, you feel that you are not in control of what comes, and so you must guard yourself from what may come, not understanding that you are the inviter of what comes. That is why we say an understanding of how you're getting what you're getting is essential before you will be in a position of being willing to allow yourself, mm-hmm. or to allow any other.
Another area that I've felt some discomfort in, so far as we speak of morality regarding sexual practices, I've reached the point of allowing now, but I still feel uncomfortable when someone uses force in any area. Is there a point, again, that I can get so that a person, whatever they do, whether one uses force or not, it won't affect my thinking?
No matter what the subject is.
The same thing.
It is important to understand that there are no victims. There are only co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
You are all magnets attracting unto you the subject of your thought. And so if there is one who gives much thought to, one who speaks much about rape, then it is very likely that they will be the victim, by their words, of such an experience, because by law you attract unto you that which you give thought to. As you give thought with emotion, you launch your creation. And then as you expect, it is your experience. And so there are many who launch creations that they do not actually receive in their experience, because they only do half of the equation. They launch it by giving thought, even emotional thought, but then they do not expect, and so they do not receive. This is true of the things you want as well as the things that you do not want. We've offered the example of going to the horror picture, where you are stimulated to much clear, vivid thought through the sound and picture that is coming forth from the movie theater. You have launched the creation of all of this as you have given thought, usually with great emotion. But as you leave the theater, you say, it was only a movie, that would not happen to me. And so you do not complete the expectancy part. But if you will notice in your society, the more that is offered regarding any topic, the greater the public expectancy of it.
Always.
And so the greater the expectancy within the individual, the greater the likelihood that they will attract it and then allow it through their expectancy into their own experience. And so do not give thought to those things that you do not want, and you will not have them in your experience. Do not speak of that which you do not want. You will not attract it into your experience. And so when you understand that, then as one who is observing another having an experience that they do not want,
mm-hmm.
you are not so filled with negative emotion, because you understand they are in the process of understanding how all things come to them. Now, true, none of us feel joy in watching another being raped or watching another being robbed or being murdered. Those are not pleasant experiences. when you have come to the point of understanding how you attract into your experience, you will no longer give thought to that, and you will no longer be one who is seeing that. You draw into your experience that which you give thought to. Your television confuses it, because you turn upon your television intending to have entertainment, and they bring to you those sudden news bulletins where you are told of some horrible event happening. Mm-hmm. When it is your intent to see, no matter what you are doing, only that which you are wanting to see, you will be drawn from the television before such a bulletin is offered. When you see something in a newspaper or magazine that begins to bring forth a little negative emotion, you will immediately set it aside rather than continuing, thus bringing forth more negative emotion as law of attraction adds unto the subject. But even beyond that, in this moment, as you are intending to attract unto you only that which you are wanting, you will begin prepaving so that your future action will not need to be so definite.
Sure.
You will not be drawn to the television. You will not be drawn to the newspapers.
Right.
Instead, you will be drawn by law of attraction to the subject of your deliberate intent. The reason so many of you are drawn to these subjects of indeliberate intent is because you do not have deliberate intent. You are not saying often enough what you do want, and so you are attracting some of all of it. The more deliberate you are in what you are wanting, the more prepaving you will be doing, so that the less action will be taken to get these things out of your experience. You will not be ambushed by your television, mm-hmm. so to speak, or ambushed by the predators of your society. For the universe will have prepaved something different for you.
Many people will accept your basic premise. The point where I see a number of people stub their toe, so to speak, or find difficulty with it, is they'll say, but how about the little child? How does a little child have the thoughts that would bring them ill health or bring them invasion of their bodies, violence of some sort?
Because they are surrounded by those who are having those thoughts, and they are receiving those thoughts.
Telepathy?
That is correct. You see, long before the child is speaking, the child is thinking. You cannot know how clear in thought that little child is, because he has not learned to communicate with you. He is not communicating his thoughts.
He's not thinking in words.
But he is thinking and receiving thought from you the day that he enters your environment. That is the reason that beliefs are transmitted so easily from father to son, from father to son.
Mm-hmm.
That child is receiving your fears and your beliefs even without your spoken word. And so if you are wanting to do that which is of greatest value for your child, give thought only to that which you are wanting, and your child will receive only those thoughts, you see.
A guest at one of our workshops said something. He said, regarding allowing, I still have creeping into my mind, though, an old saying, one has a right to swing their arms as much as they want, which to me was allowing, as long as they didn't interfere with my right to swing my arms, or as long as they didn't hit my nose. And so as I go through life, and I'm allowing other people to be and do and have whatever they want, when it interferes with what I want, or what we have agreed to in business, sometimes it's a little difficult not to at least call for a sticking to the agreement, or fulfilling their responsibilities as we had agreed.
As long as you have concern that another can interfere in your experience, or another can swing his arms into your face,
mm-hmm.
then you are not really yet understanding how it is that you get what you get. As we are talking today, you can begin today to think only of what you are wanting, and then begin today to attract only what you are wanting. The question comes forth because yesterday or in your past you were not understanding this. You were inviting through your thought those who swing their arms into your face, and so now in this moment you say, what do I do about it? If there is someone who is in your experience now, swinging their arms in an uncomfortable way, we say, take your attention from them and they will go away. And in their place will come those who are comfortable to you, who are in harmony with you. But what usually happens is, as they swing their arms, as they do the things you are not wanting them to do, you give your attention to that. You get angrier about it. You get more upset about it. Mm-hmm. And by law of attraction, you attract more of that until soon you have more than one in your experience. There are two or three or many. Take your attention from that which does not please you and put your attention upon that which does please you, and you will change the momentum. Not instantly, but it will begin to change. If every morning for the next 30 days you will begin your day by saying, I intend to see, I want to see, I expect to see, no matter who I am working with, no matter who I am talking with, no matter where I am, no matter what I am doing, I intend to see that which I want to see, you will change the momentum of your life experience. And all things that now displease you will be gone from your experience and will be replaced by things that do please you. It is absolute. It is law. When we say that from your non-physical perspective, from the perspective of that which you were even before you became focused in this physical body, that it was your intent to become allower and to understand the law of allowing, it is so. But what we are wanting you to understand is that you never get completed. You are not like a table that is imagined and then created and then is finished. You are continually in the state of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the process of growth eternally, but you are that which you are in this moment. You are wanting to understand so well the laws of the universe that you are at one with them. You are wanting to understand how it is that things come to you, that they come to you by your invitation, so that you do not feel victim or vulnerable, so that you are not victim or vulnerable to the whims of another swinging their arms. It is hard for you to understand these things when you are in the middle of what seems to be two worlds. The world that you created before you understood these things that we've talked about here, and the world that you are now in the process of creating now that you are understanding more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things that are now in your experience, because of the pre-paving or the pre-thinking of your past, do not fit very well with what you now want. And so we know there is a little bit of discomfort as you are in this transitional stage, but there will be less and less and less discomfort as you are clearer and clearer and clearer of what you are wanting. Much of the clutter of past momentum is moving from your experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in the state of positive emotion, considering only what you are doing or thinking or speaking, you are allowing yourself. When you are in the state of positive emotion regarding your view into another's experience, you are allowing another. It is that simple. And so you cannot have negative emotion about yourself and be in the state of allowing yourself. To be an allower is to be one who feels positive emotion, which means you must control what you are giving your attention to. It does not mean that you get everything in your world whipped into shape so that everything and everyone is just the way you want it to be. It means you are able to see and therefore solicit forth from the universe, from your world, from your friends, that which is in harmony with you, while you let the other parts go unnoticed by you, therefore unattracted by you, therefore not invited by you. That is allowing, you see. And we'll tell you, friends, it is the most glorious state of being you will ever achieve on a long, ongoing basis. For once you are allower, you are spiraling upward and upward. For there is no negative emotion to balance you out and bring you down. There is no backside to the pendulum swing, you see. You are forever and gloriously moving forward.
Wonderful.
Indeed.
And this concludes the Law of Allowing.